gift unto us. Amen. Anytime we're 6 feet above ground, I think that would be a good thing. Amen. So it's good to be here today. And weather's kind of turning a bit. Skies are fairly clear, but it's nice and kind of cool and crisp outside. But it'll warm up here directly. We're not being moved by it too bad. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up this morning to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations. The word lament means to cry. It means to weep, if you will. It's directly after the book of Jeremiah, and that's where we're going to look here this morning. Just by way of introduction, before we get, we're going to be in Lamentations chapter 3. But I wanted to take you through the key verse that we find in the book of Lamentations is chapter 1 and verse 1. But we're going to read chapter 3. So go to chapter 3, Lamentations 3. Read verses 1 and 2. Stand with me if you're willing and able to today. Only if those two areas are coinciding with where you can be today. So if you can stand, please stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Lamentations in chapter 3, looking in verse 1. The Bible says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we approach the throne of grace with boldness this morning, but we come before you and ask you, dear God, that you would take your precious, holy, purified, preserved, perfected Word of God, and that you would apply it into our hearts and into our ears this morning. God in heaven, I ask you to please visit with us today. I pray that you would make a difference in our lives and help us, Lord God, to make a difference in the lives of others. Dear God, I pray that we would not chalk this up as just another regular old Sunday morning. But Father, we would look at this today. It's a privilege and an honor to be together one with another. And most importantly today, it is a privilege and an honor to come and worship you in spirit and truth. So, dear God in heaven, I ask you to take your message this morning. Apply it to our hearts and our lives. Let us not be distracted by anything there may be in this world today, be it yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Let us solely focus, dear God, on what we would hear from you. And Father, we ask these things in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. There was a time during the Second World War, specifically between the fall of France in June of 1940 and the Axis invasion of the Soviet Union in June of 1941. It composes of 363 days, or if you look at it in months, 11 months and 28 days. When the British Empire and the Commonwealth stood alone against the Axis powers in Europe. Churchill coined the phrase for this time period known as the darkest hour. This time period came on the heels of what history would consider to have been the war's darkest moment on 10th May 1940, when over 1,500 civilians died in a Luftwaffe bombing raids on London alone. 1,500 civilians. Prime Minister Winston Churchill would give his famous speech 3 days later to the House of Commons, saying, I have nothing to offer. Blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Churchill engaged the people directly in the midst of a time considered to be Great Britain's darkest hour. The society was surrounded by utter sadness, painstaking loss, dread beyond mine and your comprehension today. But there was a glimmer of light, a flicker of hope stemming from the highest office in the land. Beloved, may I say this to you this morning, that there was a light in the darkest hour. something that country had yet to experience. The world we live in today is not that different. The world we live in today is in a different kind of war. And might I add that we're even in a darker hour, if you will. Our lands have entered into a place of darkness, hidden from the truth of the Holy Scripture. Men are carrying on as if nothing is happening. Others will take to the pulpit today. Some are standing in pulpits today, and they are slaughtering the preservation of God's perfect word today. There are those that possess attitudes in this world which are in stark contrast of Jesus Christ, and yet they will refer to themselves as Christians. They will, with one moment in time, rip to pieces what others for decades have labored to preserve, and who and what Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ stands for. Oh, beloved, we're in dark times. Beloved, we are in dark days. We are in a dark hour today, and that is true. We are in days that of darkness. We are shrouded by diagnoses today and labels placed upon children and excuses made by adults. We're in an age of spiritual warfare. And the saddest element of this truth, that most do not even realize that there's a battle going on, much less a war. But I assure you this morning. I promise you this from the bottom of my heart, and I assure you today that no matter how dark our world may be, there is light in this darkest hour. There is. Our opening text in chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations is found in a book that was written in one day's time. The key verse of this book is it's in chapter 1, verse 1. I'm just going to read it to you. But he says, how doth the city sit solitary? And that was full of people. He says, how has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces, how has she become a tributary? The book of Lamentations has 5 laments, expressing great sorrow for the destruction of Jerusalem. Beloved, we find that it's written on a day that is known in history as Israel's darkest day, but not just because of what occurs, of what Jeremiah is speaking of here in the book of Lamentations. This is a day when the prophecies of Jeremiah are fulfilled. This is a day of despair, a day when discouragement sets in, when disillusionment rules in people's heart. Yes, Lamentations is written in a day of darkness upon the nation. The words were penned, like I said, in one day's time, known as the ninth of Av, or Tisbeav is what it's called, Israel's darkest day. It is the day historically that Israel's tragedies have occurred throughout history. On this particular day that he's writing, it's 586 BC, before Christ. This is the third and final siege by Babylon, when the temple is finally destroyed. But on this day, on the ninth of Av, Israel lamented even to go back into Egypt, thus being refused the promised land for 40 years. Remember when the 10 spies went into, the 12 spies went into the promised land, and 2 of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back and said, man, listen, that place is a land filled with milk and honey, all the promises that God had said, that land is a beautiful land. I mean, they got fruit in there this big, and well, there's some sons of Anak over there, but God has promised to give us that land. Let's go in and take it. But the other 10, they said, listen, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. We can't go take them. Let's just go back to Egypt and be slaves. God pronounced a judgment upon those that were 20 and older, save Caleb and Joshua, from that moment that they would walk through the wilderness for 40 years until every one of them had died off. Who believed not God. The day that they lamented to go back to Egypt, the day that they went in and said that they were as grasshoppers in the sights of the sons of Anak was the day known as the ninth of Av. Both temples were destroyed. I've already told you about the temple being destroyed that we read about here in the book of Lamentations in 586 BC. But hundreds of years later, after the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the inverted crucifixion of Peter, after the beheading of Paul in AD 70, the second temple would be destroyed yet again. And yes, it happened on the 9th of Av, Tisbeon, if you will. In 1290 AD, on the 9th of Av, the Jews were expelled from England. In 1492, besides Columbus sailing the ocean blue, Isabel and Ferdinand, Spain's most wickedest rulers of all time, evil, evil, wicked, blood-curdling people, they would expel every Jew out of Spain on the 9th of Av. Now here's a little nugget that you may not have known. Most people in history, especially in the Jewish realm, they consider the Second World War to be just a continuation of a long drawn out First World War, or as we know it as the Great War. Amazingly enough, in 1914, when the First World War began, Germany declared war on Russia and they began their Holocaust on the people known as the Jews at that time, effectively catapulting the First World War into motion. And guess what date they did it? The 9th of August. Beloved, there is no coincidences at all whatsoever by any stretch of the imagination of what this day represents. It is Israel's darkest day. As a matter of fact, even if we go back and look at what Haman began his destruction of the nation of Israel, should he have been successful, the day that he had that destruction of all the Jews in every province would have been the 9th of Av. Saying all that to say this morning, we have here in this book of Lamentation recorded by Jeremiah the witnessing of his own prophecy coming to pass, yet he's weeping beyond comprehension as he watches his beloved temple being destroyed. And by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, as he sat there in probably sackcloth and ash, as he sat there wiping the tears away from his face, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon him. And he writes these words that we have so beautifully preserved today. May I say this to you this morning, that we all have bad days. May I say this also, that we all have suffered some type of loss? No, we haven't suffered the kind of loss that compares to what Jeremiah is experiencing. I'm not even going to hint to that this morning. But I want you to notice what he begins to describe as his darkest day. Number one, there is an incredible, listen carefully, I'm looking here. Number one, there is an incredible loss. Read the first 10 verses with me, if you will. The Bible says here, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hands, the Bible says. He turneth his hands against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead are all of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear, a lion in wait, and as a lion in secret places. Now, I'd be honest, if we're honest with one another this morning, that's a pretty dark time that he's experiencing. I mean, I would say words can barely describe what pain and what loss that Jeremiah is describing before his very eyes, what he is feeling in the depths of his heart, what he is feeling in the depths of his soul. His pain is extended beyond just from eternal pain all the way to, I believe, into his very extremities. The words that we have in this preserved, purified, perfected Word of God right before us today describing events and emotions of utter loss. Yeah, we've all suffered loss. We've all had bad days. Every one of us had dark times, and every one of us will have dark days before us. I say to you again that we are in a war today. We are in a spiritual war that most know not, and not is even going on, and most are trying to stick their head in the sand and act like it's not going. Most are trying to avoid losing anything at all. And I get that, and I understand that. Jeremiah is in there. What he's describing is the darkest day of his life. I mean, if I was to be just blamed about everything in Jeremiah's life, if I were to read these first 10 verses and look at his loss, I'd say he has no hope. I'm sure some doctor would want to come by and give him some type of label, give him some type of diagnosis. They probably want to prescribe some type of medication. Why? To mask his feelings and make them just go away. Jeremiah is praying. He says he shut my prayer out. Jeremiah's looking for some flicker, some glimmer. He's looking for some spark, and yet he said he sat in darkness. Watches his temple being destroyed. Remember, guys, the temple. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that we are the temple, made not with hands. That our body is the temple of God, bought with the price of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where the temple is. But in the Old Testament, the temple was that building which contained Holy Spirit of God. It fell back in Leviticus chapter 7. That Shekinah glory fell, and that fire burned upon that altar all the way up until what most believe to be 606 BC, which is the first siege of Babylon upon the nation. Imagine from 606 BC to 586 BC, the vagabond Jews, that which was left in Jerusalem from the first two sieges, they were looking for hope somewhere, and the only hope they found was the final destruction of that which represented their God on earth, and darkness moved upon their entire soul. In their minds and in their hearts, they lost everything. Notice with me what he begins to describe as his darkest day. That number one, there's an incredible amount of loss. But number two, he's brought to an incredible low. Pick up with me in verse 11, if you will. The Bible says that he had turned aside my ways. He had pulled me in pieces. He had made me desolate. He had bent his bow and set as a mark for the arrow. He had caused the arrows of his quiver to enter in my range. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He had filled me with bitterness. He had made me drunken with wormwood. He had also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. I said my strength and my hope, watch this, is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction, my misery, the wormwood, and the gall. Bitter, brought to a new low. He looked at what he had suffered loss. He looked at what he was experiencing. I mean, these words are describing again the events and the emotions of utter loss, and has brought his soul to a new low, a depth deeper than he has ever experienced in his life before. He said, I was a derision to all my people. They were singing songs deriding him. They were singing songs to who and what he was. Jeremiah, keep in mind, had the weeping prophet, was prophesying this destruction for years and years and years. He wrote in his book. Matter of fact, Daniel was an avid student of the book of Jeremiah. He knew the things that had happened once he had gotten taken captive. He trusted what God was going to do even before, in the middle, and after the captivity of Israel. We understand that Jeremiah here, he's looking through all these prophecies that are being fulfilled before his very days, and now he's saying, he had filled me with bitterness, made me drunken with wormwood. Wormwood's a bitter, bitter, bitter ingredient. The pain and the suffering that his soul is experiencing He explains in verse 16 by saying, he had also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He covered me with ashes. He said, my strength and my hope perished. You know, beloved, I wonder sometimes how many people in this world today, they get up in the morning, they do the same thing throughout the day, they go back to bed at night, and they just say, I'm going to get up tomorrow, going to do the same thing. And they're living in a world today waiting to die. I wonder how many people in our world today, ignorant to the war that is going on around them, are just experiencing, they're just, all they're doing is just treading water to get through life, waiting for what is next. You see, my friend, we live in a world today that is very temporary. If you were to be here 80 to 90, if you were to live to be 100 years old, it is but a grain of sand in comparison to eternity. As a matter of fact, it's incomparable. But I wonder sometimes if our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, those that we see, if they're just going through life, they're convinced this is it, that there's no hope. I wonder some of our youth back here sharing the gospel with them this past Friday night and just giving them the simple plan, the simple gospel plan. The good news that there's a Savior that came to this world who loved them. I wonder sometimes if they struggle in understanding the enormity of that message simply because they live in a world that they believe they're trapped in. That they're trapped in a cycle to continue from one generation to the next. There's a war that's going on, guys. There's a war that really overshadows the darkest day that Britain ever seen, that the darkest day that America has ever seen, that the darkest day that Europe has ever seen, no matter what darkest day that the world has seen in the midst of man's wars today, there is a spiritual war, there's a battle that is going on in this world today that overshadows them all. That's the battle of good and evil. And I believe the devil has been quite successful in just convincing people that there's nothing else out there. Just convincing people that there's no other purpose than to just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. Just convincing people that when we die, the lights just go out and we go to nothing. I say again from the quote we read earlier today, eternity's a long time to be wrong. Israel's darkest day, the ninth of Av, so many tragedies over history, so many tragic events, so many problematic times, so much loss, so much love. And here's Jeremiah. Here's Jeremiah just saying that, man, my hope is gone. My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. However, on this darkest day, on this day in the midst of real and true depression, in this hour when Jeremiah's soul was brought as low as it ever has in his life, and when he has suffered more loss than he ever has in all of his days, may I say to you that there is light. Look at verses 20 with me. Jeremiah says, my soul hath them still in remembrance, watch this, and is humbled in me. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore hath I hope. Watch this. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new, watch this, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Wow. In the midst of loss, in the midst of a low, somewhere along the way, Jeremiah finds a glimmer of hope, a flicker. When everything is going south, when the destruction was at its peak, when he was just in the heels of very breath, where he said that his hope was gone, that his hope has perished from the Lord, when the destruction was there, when the temple was being destroyed, when the people were fainting for despair, when nothing but blood and tears were found in the street, there was light in the midst of it all. Yes, there was loss. Yes, there was a low. Yes, there's a time when Jeremiah says there's nothing but darkness, and then all of a sudden, hope appears. All of a sudden, the light arises. Look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. What did he recall to his mind? My soul, verse 20, my soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. In the midst of the worst day in history, this little revelation, this little flicker of light in the midst of pure darkness begins to shine. And Jeremiah says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. He says, it is the Lord's mercies. Watch this. That we are not consumed. As bad as everything is, he lost everything. As bad as everything is going, as dark as the day was, yes, he was brought to a new and dreadful low. But there was still life in his body. Brother Mel said to me this morning, he goes, I'm still living, with a little smile. He said, I'm still living. And I thought, well, I tell you what, that's not a mistake that he said that concerning what's being preached this morning. As dark as the day was, as rough and as hard and as tough, as vile as the moments were, as dark as the battle was occurring, as this much despair and derangement that the people are in the world today, there is still life in. Pumping, there's a little flicker of light. You know what that means to Jeremiah and the people of Israel? Nation's still intact. Covenant is still moving, still in existence. We're still here. A little flicker of light. Surrounded by darkness, and Jeremiah says this in verse 23. They are new every morning. He says in verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Surrounded by darkness, he says, great is thy faithfulness. Surrounded by despair, he says, his mercies are it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Surrounded by discouragement, depression, and disillusionment with everything there is, he says, for they are new every morning. Just a little flicker of light in the darkest hour. Every morning we wake up. Even in the middle of the darkest spiritual war that's waged day in and day out in our world today, there is still light in our life. For the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Paul said this, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Beloved, this world is in a war with God. We are living in a day and age where the battle lines are often blurred by pseudo-kindness, they're covered by ignorance, they're marred by wolves in sheep clothing. And it's easy to become dismayed with society and a culture who simply doesn't have time for God. It's easy to get discouraged and just, I mean, like I use the word disillusioned, just to become disillusioned with a world that says, I don't have time for God. But we must never forget that no matter how dark the day is, no matter how much darkness is brought in, no matter how much loss is experienced, no matter how low we may become, there is light in the darkest hour. Light that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. A light that is giving hope to the hopeless. A light that has lifted us up in the lowest time. A light that has continued every single day with the mercies of God to give us life for one more moment, one more opportunity, one more privilege to serve the risen Savior in the world that He's placed us. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. We pray now for your continual hand to rest upon us. We ask you, dear God, to please move in a great way in our life, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done. Father, we thank you for in those days of darkness, Lord, that you are that glimmer of hope. Lord, we thank you that your mercies, dear Father, they are everlasting, that they are forever true, that your mercies endure, they're new every morning in our life. Lord God, we thank you that it's your mercies that we are not consumed. Father, we ask you now to take your message. Let us not soon forget it. Write it upon the table of our heart. Help us, dear God, in this world today, bring honor, glory, and praise to the risen Savior, in whose name we ask, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.